Yeah, I'm like Neo now.
Oh, that was good. That was good.
That's Morpheus.
What's going on, everyone? Jurassic Views. Bryce Diamond, Tuesday afternoon. Not a lot going on in the association. And in fact, not a ton going on in my day. Left work a little early because a couple things got pushed till tomorrow. And that's all right by me. I got some things on the home front done. My partner is going away. Was able to help her out today. Tried to get my kid off a screen. You want to talk about negotiations. When your nine-year-old, very strong-willed nine-year-old, is not at camp, is not at school, and is not with her friends or cousins doing something outside, and she is in front of a screen, she can be a very tough negotiator. She is, we call her the board of directors in this house. I'm the, chief operating officer. My wife is the chief executive officer. And, my daughter is the board of directors, which means that you have to be willing to go through all the mechanisms of decision making to be able to come with a final decision in this house. And you have to be willing to hear an answer that you don't like, no matter who you're talking to, because everybody's voice is important. But when it comes to my daughter and her screen, it is hard to get her off her. Now, I will say this in her defense, in case her ears are listening to this, in case her grandfather, who's a big defender and a big believer of my daughter, is listening, which he often does. He's been on the show, hoping to get him back on Jurassic Views in training camp or the preseason. Regardless, I will say that she does work hard. She loves to play soccer. She is a footballer through and through, and she does work hard. She does little clinics for younger kids on the block. She was out there yesterday with me at a local park doing pull-ups and rope climbs, push-ups, squats. She put the work in, and then we did hill climbs. So even at 9 years old, she's got a lot of fire and a lot of determination and self-determination for negotiating tactics. But she's a lot of fun. But I will say it's tough to negotiate with her. Now, speaking of negotiations, speaking of complexity in decision making, I wanted to talk today briefly, as brief as I can be, which can be tricky at times. I want to talk about the James Harden saga. And I'm not a James Harden fan necessarily. I think his game speaks for itself. This is a guy who's in the top 30 all-time in scoring. This is a guy who's won the MVP. This is a guy who has put offenses on his back for many seasons in his career. This is, probably a top 5 shooting guard of all time and probably a top 10 guard of all time. He is a legitimate talent in the NBA, and his career accolades and statistics are well documented and have been well respected But I want to go further to talk about James Harden, because there's been some discussion this week online, and in the last week online and in podcasts, that I wanted to throw my two cents in, throw my hat into the circle. Because James Harden in the offseason is not just a shooting guard. He is not just a player on the Philadelphia 76ers. He's not just an employee of the franchise known as the Philadelphia 76ers. Now, I don't know the owner of the Philadelphia 76ers. I forget his name. I know the general manager is Daryl Morey, who James Harden and Daryl Morey were also in Houston together. I know that his coach is Nick Nurse. And those are kind of seen as his superiors. Those are ones who can help give an evaluation to his game and his efforts as a player for the Philadelphia 76ers. But in the offseason, there's a transformation that happens. And I think it's really important to recognize this when we're talking about some of the activities and some of the conversations that have been happening in the last couple months since the season ended and the draft completed almost 2 months ago. And that is this. James Harden in the offseason is a businessman. Not only does he do well in his basketball earnings, just what he does on the court. He makes $35.6 million a year going into this season. He's made, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars over the course of his career. But he does more than that. He owns or is a part owner in some businesses and business ventures. He also has endorsements around $45 million. So even more than his salary that he's given for playing basketball for the Philadelphia 76ers, James Harden is a businessman and makes more off the court than he does on the court. And I think this is important because what I was hearing from some podcasters, from some journalists, what I was reading from some fans, not necessarily former players, but some fans and some people who are very invested, not just in the Philadelphia 76ers. You know, they're not season ticket holders necessarily. These are people who involve themselves in what's going on in the NBA through social media, through writing, and, you know, through other media outlets and social media. And some were saying this week that the way James Harden is going about his discussions with the team is not right. That things that James Harden is doing, the way he's trying to kind of force the hand of the Philadelphia 76ers, is unfair, and that the league should clean this up, should rein in James Harden. Now, first of all, I want to just repeat myself about James Harden having multi dimensions. I will recognize very directly, very simply, that James Harden is an employee in part to the Philadelphia 76ers, and he has responsibilities to that team. I will reiterate that James Harden is in the NBA. That's an association as well unto itself. And there's obligations that you have not only to your team as an NBA basketball player, but to the league. So I'll recognize that. But I want to reiterate that this is August and it is the off season. James Harden is not playing basketball. He is not contractually obligated right now to be at training camp, in the locker room, to do media, press conferences. There is nothing that the team is asking him to do, that he's obliged to do for them, you know, when it comes to commercials, you know, any kind of writing. The season is still, you know, 2 months away, and the preseason 6 weeks away. The NBA is separate from Team USA, but James Harden does not have anything to do with that. Should James Harden want to play in any exhibitions like the Drew League or any other kind of pro-am basketball opportunities, those are up to James, and he's free to do that unless it states otherwise in his contract with the Philadelphia 76ers or the NBA. And oftentimes when you play outside of the NBA, you can get insurance for such things. So in the off season, when James Harden speaks, in the off season, when the season has not started, neither is training camp, James Harden is quite free to speak his mind. And if he believes that there are contract negotiations, if he believes there should be a decision that the team should make to trade him, as I think it has been reported he would like to do, James Harden is now a businessman talking to another business entity in the Philadelphia 76ers. Let's reiterate, let's be clear about the fact that basketball in the NBA is a business. As much as we love it as a sport, as much as we love it as entertainment, James Harden has a career in basketball, and he plays as much for a team as he does a business in the Philadelphia 76ers. And so when people say about James Harden in the offseason, the league needs to clean this up, it needs to be reined in, this is bad for the NBA, I take a real issue with that. Now, some people, while saying that, were also saying, hey, wait a second, I'm all for player empowerment. Okay, well then if you're all for player empowerment, you should recognize that the player is more than just a player. The player is a business person. And the player is not obligated right now to play any games. And so they're allowed to negotiate, and negotiations can go lots of different ways. And sometimes those negotiations happen behind closed doors, and sometimes those negotiations happen in the public if what's happened behind closed doors has not worked very well. Now, James Harden, we know, can be a difficult character. James Harden can be a complex guy. You know, we've heard stories about Dennis Rodman. We've heard stories about Michael Jordan. We've heard stories about Scottie Pippen behind the scenes. And these guys, for different reasons, with their complexities as individual human beings, as players, as business people, have had moments where they have not been easy in negotiations, where they've had grievances with their ownership or with superiors of theirs within a franchise that they played for. We learn these things about Rodman, Pippen, and Jordan through The Last Dance. But things about James Harden are pretty well documented. And he's been open at times about what has gone on in his career in Oklahoma City, his time spent in Houston, then in Brooklyn, and now in Philadelphia. James Harden was pretty clear, I think, that he didn't really want to be in Philadelphia. And I think he had discussions with Daryl Morey, the general manager, that didn't go so well. Now, he had conversations that he was hoping would go better. But the Philadelphia 76ers, as a business, decided to make a public statement through journalists. I believe through Adrian Wojnarowski, but there could have been others. And they said that they are going to have James Harden come back to the team in training to start training camp. James Harden does not want to be with the Philadelphia 76ers for training camp. He wants to be traded. Now, I don't know the reasons. I don't know those negotiations. And really, very few of us do, if any, outside of James Harden, his agent, Daryl Morey, and some others within the Philadelphia 76ers organization. So all of us are speculating when we say things are going well, things are not going well. What we do know is what's released in the press. And what we do know and have to be very clear about is that two business entities, the Philadelphia 76ers and James Harden, because again, in basketball, in the NBA, it's a business. And so these two entities that are trying to work contractually together with lawyers and the like have things that they need to work out in their discussions. Should James Harden not want to play for the 76ers, that happens in negotiations. Now you could say, well, he's a player. He should be put in line. No, 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 no. It's not that simple. And again, in the off season, when you don't have certain negotiations, James Harden is a businessman. And so he needs to set his business up as best he can, both now and for the future. We've seen this with Kevin Durant. We've seen this with LeBron James. We see this in a lot quieter way with Steph Curry. But we've seen this with players before, like Michael Jordan. These guys have so much influence and impact, not just on the floor. In fact, in a lot of ways, more off the floor than on the floor. As a for instance, James Harden is on Instagram. James Harden has about 12 million followers on Instagram. I would say that's from a social influence perspective online. I would say James Harden is pretty influential. When you compare that to his team, the Philadelphia 76ers, who have just over 4 million followers on Instagram, I would say James Harden's influence and impact are greater than that of his team. Again, when you look at it from two businesses' perspectives on social media, James Harden has a lot more social capital and social influence than the Philadelphia 76ers. And so for me, it's pretty cringeworthy when you have media people outside of this who do not have really any obligations to the NBA. Yes, they have to follow laws that probably the NBA or guidelines and policies that the NBA has set forward for them when they're at NBA games or maybe using film that the NBA has put out. But journalists, they have a job to tell a story. And I think lines get blurred when journalists start speculating on things and start putting opinion on things and forget about the facts of situations. And again, when they're journalists of basketball and journalists of the NBA in particular, they have to remember that when they talk about contracts between the Sixers and Harden or any player and their team, they are talking about two business entities. And I think journalists fail so often to do this. James Harden, when he's not wearing a jersey in the offseason, is his own business. If James Harden wants to say publicly, at an Adidas event in China where he has millions of fans and followers, where he is paid by Adidas to show up for them, and he wants to publicly talk about another business he has a connection with, that one of his superiors within that business, the Philadelphia 76ers, specifically Daryl Morey, his superior in some ways within the franchise of the Philadelphia 76ers, when he wants to say, James Harden wants to say that Daryl Morey is a liar, as a businessman, whether he has a contract with the 76ers to play or not, as a businessman, he's allowed to do that. Now, is that in James Harden's best interests? I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe he gets what he wants. Maybe his business flourishes if he's that bold, if he's that open about the credibility and the ethics of a general manager within the NBA for the team he happens to play for. But it's worrisome when journalists who, you know, have followers, have some of their own social capital or social influence because they have people who listen to their podcasts and they write on about the NBA and have influence with their writing. It's worrisome when they want to say that this guy who's a businessman can't be that honest about another business, because that kind of stuff happens all the time. Businesses speak about other businesses all the time. I know at the beginning of the pandemic, in the first year of the pandemic in 2020, there were businesses in Ottawa that spoke quite critically about other businesses, and they had every freedom to do so. And maybe they were part of a business association and maybe they weren't. They were within a city, so maybe city officials could have said something to them. But if they were, as a business owner, were commenting on the questionable ethics and decisions that other businesses were making, i.e. not paying their staff well, not believing that the health and safety of their staff in a global pandemic wasn't being focused on and being cared for, whether that's certain policies about mask wearing or whether that's paid sick leave being given to their employees or not. Another business who found out about that could be quite critical. They had every freedom and right to do that. And in fact, that critique of the other business within Ottawa, within their industry, could actually help their business, because they're saying, listen, I want my employees to work well, but I also care about customers and where they put their money. And if they're putting their money into the pockets of people who are not treating their staff well, I want other people to know that. So they're advocating now for workers' rights, but they're also advocating for good business practices. And so here's James Harden. He's saying, I'm not sure Daryl Morey has got good business practices. I'm not sure that he has good ethics, certainly in the ways that he's been in discussions with me and my agent. He doesn't have good ethics. So I have a real problem when journalists who are supposed to be giving facts start speculating and start giving their opinion and saying, hey, rein it in, James. This is bad for business. Why? Why is this bad for business? Bad for the NBA? Maybe it looks bad on the Philadelphia 76ers. Yeah. And maybe James Harden as a businessman has every right and should be questioning and calling out the business practices of the people who are employing him. And if he does, and if he wants to do that publicly, that might actually be good, because then public opinion begins to at least put into question. Maybe they shouldn't draw to conclusions, but they put into question, huh, even with all this power, even as they're negotiating with another business person in James Harden, they, you know, one of their employees who's supposed to be a superior to James Harden is actually not doing his job effectively or in a way that respects what James Harden has accomplished or who he is as a business person or even a player of a team. Now, I'm not saying James Harden's right. I'm not saying James Harden should have said the things he did or gone about his business the way he should have gone about his business. But what I do take exception with is when journalists then take a stance, have not being an owner in the NBA, not being an employee or the owner of the Philadelphia 76ers, and side with the league or side with the owner, then I have an issue. Because there's all kinds of now layers to that conversation that I thought we've had over and over again within sport, but especially within the NBA. And if you're going to go on your podcast or you're going to, in your articles, write, hey, James Harden, you have obligations. Hey, James Harden, you're a player for this team. Do what you're supposed to do. That's one thing. If you say, oh, I believe in the players' empowerment movement and I want them to get the bag every time, then please don't get in the way of James Harden negotiating. Please don't push your opinion that James is out of line in the way he's going about his business, because it's none of your business. Again, for me, what James Harden does with his business is his business. And whether I like it or not, or think it, if I do it or not, is you know, besides the fact. The fact is that everyone, especially journalists who write on this stuff, who get paid to write on what players are doing, and then want to try to be kind of on the player side by saying things like we believe in the player empowerment, then give them the power to tell their story. Don't write your own story based on what you're seeing, observing. Write the story based on why the person might be saying it. And maybe ask them before you go on a podcast and start trying to put things in place. Start telling the league maybe what they should do because it's bad for basketball. No, it's not. The NBA is a business. And if a businessman who makes over $80 million a year, who's 33 years old, a grown-ass man, wants to do what they want to do for their business, they're damn well allowed to. And if you have an issue with how they're going about that and thinking that the league needs to correct that as if you're policing what they're doing, well, the issue is on you. You're the issue. So James Harden, I hope this guy goes about his business as best he can. I hope this guy does as well as he possibly can as a businessman, because basketball is fleeting. It could be gone to, you know, day one of training camp. It could be done in 3 or 4 years. That happens fast. Life is too short to not get the maximum pay that you should have. But here's the other thing. Here's the other thing. Drama sells. And one of the reasons why James Harden has so many followers on Instagram, more than the Philadelphia 76ers and his old team, the Brooklyn Nets combined, almost as many as the Houston Rockets, Brooklyn Nets, and Philadelphia 76ers combine, drama sells, and the NBA's drama is the very best of sport. In fact, the NBA has a greater social influence and more followers on Instagram than any other league. The players have more influence and followers than any other league in the world, including soccer. So let's give James Harden respect, not just as a player in this negotiation, in these tactics, in his decision making, but as a businessman. Because as a businessman, he's an owner speaking to an owner when it comes to Philadelphia 76ers. All right, y'all. I've said enough. Thanks for listening. Peace. I don't do trade or money or fashion. I do arts. So these are arts. That's it.